Hello, my name is Reverend Seth Nelson, and I am the pastor of Faith Lutheran Church in Ronan, Montana. Join in weekly to hear the good news of God's love proclaimed over your life. You can follow us on Podbean and iTunes. God bless you this day. Grace and peace to you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. There's been a lot of he said, she said in Washington, D.C. this week. Many of us have come to expect such things in this era of politics marked by wonky phrases like alternative facts, we had no other choice, and fake news. But it is still frustrating to see more attention paid to speculation about the other side's motives and bias than the actual facts of the case. I suppose, in our world of nonstop political opining in 1,000 different directions, even sticking to basic facts becomes a politicized act. Interestingly, the political events of our week give us a gateway into thinking about our gospel reading from this week, compared with our passage from last week. As I'm sure you all clearly remember, especially since there will be a quiz at the end, that last week's reading was from John, which included the call story of Andrew and his brother Peter. In that version of events, Andrew was one of John the Baptist's disciples first, who upon seeing Jesus walk by and being pointed out as the Messiah by John himself, began to follow Jesus instead. Then he went and told his brother, Simon, about Jesus, saying, "We have found the Messiah," at which point his brother left to start following Jesus too. Immediately upon meeting back up with him, Jesus looked at Simon and said, "You are called Cephas," which translates into Greek as Peter. This is a fairly sequential set of events marked by discipleship upon discipleship. Our reading for today, Matthew's account of Simon and Andrew's call story, lays out a completely different set of circumstances around the two brothers' call story. Instead of one following John, seeing Jesus, and going to get the other, in Matthew's telling, both brothers were fishing with a net by the Sea of Galilee together. Jesus walked up to them and said, "Follow me, and I will make you fish for people." Immediately, our passage relates, they dropped everything and followed him. In this one, there was no open invite for them to come and see where Jesus was staying. No recognition and announcement by Andrew that he had found the Messiah, and no renaming of Simon to Cephas, at least not yet. In many ways, the Gospel of John and the Gospel of Matthew tell two very distinct and different call stories about the way that Simon and Andrew began to follow Jesus. If any of us are under the impression that the Bible lines up to give us clear and concise pictures of events that it tells about, our readings for this week and last week prove otherwise. This is not to say that these call stories are wrong, only that they give different versions of events. Just like avid Fox News watchers have a very different perspective on the same basic news stories than MSNBC viewers do these days, the writer of John and the writer of Matthew likewise focused on different aspects of how Andrew and Peter were called into discipleship. The writer of John focused on how Jesus invited his disciples to follow him, and then focused more on how the disciples could recognize the fact that he is the Messiah, and could recognize that right away. This is consistent with the rest of John, in which Jesus seems to be like a barely human superhero figure who knows everything about everyone ahead of time, has no need to be careful about the people who want to kill him, and only finally allows his executioners to get their hands on him at the end. Also, the Gospel of John writes about Jesus meeting these disciples while they're fishing, after he had been resurrected, in the very last chapter of the book, unlike Matthew, where it comes at the beginning. When Jesus meets them fishing there, it is because they are no longer to be disciples following our Savior, but apostles. Sent ones, those who are to bring the good news of Jesus Christ out into the world for everyone to hear. Simon and Andrew's call story in Matthew has a very different focus. Instead of centering on how awesome Jesus is in superhero fashion, though he is still a pretty awesome guy in Matthew, our gospel passage for this week focuses more on what these new disciples of Jesus were giving up in order to follow him and how they did it. Our text says, as Jesus walked by the Sea of Galilee, he saw two brothers, Simon, who is called Peter, and Andrew, his brother, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishermen. And he said to them, follow me, and I will make you fish for people. Immediately they left their nets and followed him. Jesus walked by them, saw them doing their work, gave them an obscure, unclear invitation to follow him, and they immediately dropped everything they were doing and left everything they had to follow him, almost sight unseen. The way Matthew tells it, the focus was not so much on what they saw in Jesus, but what Jesus saw in them. He saw fishermen, yes, but he also saw future followers who would indeed drop everything immediately to follow him. What does it mean to fish for people? They hardly could have known. This is an abstract, obscure, kind of ethereal command that would have been pretty unclear to them at the outset. Yet Jesus knew that these were the kind of guys who would drop everything immediately to follow him and find out. They would leave the world behind at a moment's notice to become disciples of our Lord. And Jesus saw that these were the kind of disciples he wanted and needed. St. Francis of Assisi is perhaps one of the most famous saints of the past 1,000 years of Christian history. And his conversion story to a life of piety has much to teach us about the life of discipleship and what it means to be fishers of people. Born in the 80s, just like me, that is, the 1180s, not the 1980s. In the town of Assisi in Italy, Francis was the son of a wealthy cloth merchant named Peter Bernardoni. In his early life, Francis loved to party, wear fine clothes, and carry on in worldly ways that were typical of people of his wealth and stature. Then, Francis fought in a war alongside his countrymen, but was defeated, captured, and imprisoned for nearly a year before he was freed for a ransom. The experience seemed to have broken his heart open to hear the calling of God over his life. He began to tend to the lepers who lived in the valley below his city and pray often. One day, when he was praying in the abandoned chapel San Domiano, he heard words of Christ emanating from the crucifix in front of him saying, Francis, repair my house, which is falling into ruin. Much like how Jesus wasn't just talking about fishing when he met Simon and Andrew at the Sea of Galilee, the word that Francis heard that day was intended for more than a literal interpretation. Francis thought that God was telling him to repair the chapel he was praying in, which had fallen into great disrepair. But later, he came to understand that God meant that Francis was to bring restoration to the whole church of God. From that day onward, Peter began to journey deeper and deeper into a life of discipleship, faithfulness, and poverty. His relationship with his father broke down when he tried to sell some of his father's cloth to earn money to repair the chapel that he was praying in. He gave up his fine robes, life of partying and wealthy future by donning beggar's clothing, committing his life to the church, and even starting one of the most famous orders in Catholicism still to this day, the Franciscans. When Christ placed a call on his life, he answered the call and answered it immediately. I think that St. Francis would be the first to tell us that his life was better for following the path that God set before him, by renouncing the finer things the world has to offer in pursuit of the greater gifts that God has in store. Christian discipleship has always meant leaving behind things that the world deems normal and good in order to follow wherever Christ leads. Sometimes we are called to leave our homes, our friends, or our possessions. Other times we are called to leave behind jobs, farms, or even family in order to go where God is leading. The call to discipleship can be difficult to follow. But we are reassured by the example of the faithful who have gone before us that when we do follow our Lord's lead, the way before us is better than anything we can possibly leave behind. May the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen. I hope that you have enjoyed this week's sermon podcast. If you would like to hear more, read my blog, or get a copy of my book called The Church Unknown, go to www.revsethnelson.com. If you feel called to support our ministry, I invite you to go to our church's website at flcronan.org and click on the Offerings tab. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord's face shine on you and be gracious unto you. May the Lord look upon you with favor and give you peace. Amen.